Welcome to 40 Plus Fitness for Women. I'm Lynn, your host, and today we're going to be talking about some of the biggest fitness mistakes that I see women who are over 40, so in perimenopause, menopause, making today. And these are things that mostly come through misinformation and all kinds of media and fitness marketing that's been going on throughout our lives. So I really wanted to take a look at them. Now, one of the things that I am really happy about is that we are starting to get a lot more information around fitness. And one way that I'm seeing this is in the form of my daughter. So I have a 17-year-old daughter who I've always had the principle from the beginning that all of my kids had to always have some kind of a sports hobby. And this comes from my own background. I started doing various kinds of sports already when I was like 4 years old, you know, like baby ballet and all this kind of stuff. And I then went on to play lacrosse in college. And my years on sports teams were something that really, really gave me a lot of balance, against the academics. So I was also a very high achiever in the academic side, but like sports really gave me another outlet and also like a new group of friends to meet and everything. So I always have encouraged my kids, or really when they were younger, forced, I will use the word forced, they had to pick a sport. It could be anything that you're moving. Yeah, do that. And they weren't allowed to quit mid-season. They could wait till the end of the season and switch sports. But actually they stuck to different sports for a very, very long time. But my daughter, so her last sport that she did was actually soccer. She now does horseback riding. And she's taken up weight training, and she took it up after the lockdown period. And I want to think that I had something to do with that, because during lockdown, I was training at home. And after lockdown, I was, you know, starting to weight train at the gym. And it was not too long after that that she said that, hey, she'd like to start weight training. And she's become really, really religious about that. She does it 4 days a week, straight after school, right to the gym, and then comes home. So that has been really wonderful. I'm just really glad to see this kind of healthy fitness habit developing. And now actually my 15-year-old son who plays ice hockey, he also has started weight training. He uses my weights down in my bedroom. And he goes down there all by himself. I've made him a program. I've given him instructional videos. I go down there and I check his technique every now and again. So it is really heartwarming to see my kids start weight training so young. Anyway, but so getting into our topic, which is the five habits that women are really, that are suboptimal for us in our 40s, 50s, and beyond. So the first thing that I see, this is so, so, so common, is just way too much high intensity cardio. My gym is filled with women who come in and they do, you know, these really, really hard cardio classes. You get all sweaty, red in the face and all that. And the problem is not so much that they're doing cardio. I mean, wonderful that they're doing cardio. Cardio is definitely part of the equation, but it is only part of the equation. And a lot of women are kind of overdoing it on the cardio. I see people who are going every day. They might even do two really tough cardio classes in a row, you know, the kind that when you're done with it, you feel like you've been hit by a truck. And I completely get this, because I used to do this myself. I felt like if I didn't have super high heart rate, you know, on my heart rate monitor, if I wasn't sweating, drenched, all that, by the end of the class, I hadn't really done anything, right? I mean, you know, what am I doing showing up if I'm not going to go hell-bent for leather? And there were definitely times in my life where that really felt very good in my body. Certainly when I was younger, I was working out a lot. But it really is starting to be overkill when you're in your 40s and beyond. Because as you go through the perimenopause transition, your cortisol levels start to rise, and this kind of very intense cardio will raise them even further, your cortisol levels. This is anyway a time in your life where things are stressful, right? Your kid, you have little kids, your parents might be starting to not do so well, need a little bit more help. Also, I think a lot of us start to go through marital struggles at this point, a lot of divorces going on in midlife. So, you know, if you have this general level of stress, so basically you have a higher level of cortisol in your blood just from being in this phase of life. And then you have a stressful life, which increases it even further. And then on top of that, you're adding exercise, which is increasing that even further. Cardio does have its place, but I think we're really overdoing it. And that really, I think, comes from the brainwashing that we have gotten, you know, from since, I guess, Jane Fonda maybe started it, but that you need to like just do it and, you know, do it harder and all this kind of thing. And then I think for some people, it is this feeling that, okay, I need to earn my calories. I can't eat. I need to go work out. If I've eaten something, I definitely need to work out and work out hard. And I want you please to understand that more is not always more. And at this point in our lives, it often really is not more. I think one of the big indicators that kind of hit me was that I was doing a lot of these classes. And I noticed that suddenly I was not looking fit, right, anymore. It used to work when I was younger. I'd go to these classes and I would look fit and toned and all that. And then all of a sudden I just wasn't. And that comes from the changes that go on in our bodies in midlife. Well, the biggest change there is that we are losing muscle, and all this cardio classes is not really doing anything to maintain that muscle, and certainly not for building it. So let's not go into overdrive with that. And just to throw in like a personal anecdote on this point is that it was interesting because when I started weight training really regularly, 4 days a week, going to the gym, and I didn't really have time for cardio. So I pretty much dropped it out. I was doing steps, so walking, yeah. But I wasn't going to cardio classes because I was already doing 4 weight training and I needed my recovery days and all that. And then after I'd been doing that for about 6 months, I did a VO2 max test. Now, VO2 max is testing your cardio fitness and done on a, well, I did mine at my gym where they stick you on a bike and then you go to your heart rate max and then beyond if you want to. And then they kind of tell you what your cardio fitness level is compared to other people your age and such. And I really expected that my cardio fitness would have dropped significantly based on the fact that I really wasn't doing cardio. And the strange thing was that it was actually quite exceptional. So that was a real learning lesson for me that really I don't need to do that 5 days a week killing myself or, you know, even twice a day, 5 days a week. And also on top of that, I had one of my friends from the gym do the VO2 max test with me. And she is one of these people who does 5 days a week, going these really, really hard cardio classes, and sometimes two of them in a row, or they have these marathon classes, which are like 90 minutes and this kind of thing. And her results were actually worse than mine. And that actually came as like literally such a shock to both of us. We were both like, this doesn't make any sense. We both expected that she would perform far better on the VO2 max test because she's doing so much more cardio. In fact, that was one of the reasons that I asked her to do it with me. I thought, okay, well, she's in such amazing cardio shape that she'll be able to push me to do my best. But actually what ended up happening is that I did better on the test and she has since started weight training. So yay, that has been a good result for that. Now, going on to number two is kind of related to number one. So a lot of women have this sense that if you have some dumbbells going on in the fitness class, that that workout is building or maintaining muscle. For sure, I was completely under this impression. I was going to pump classes at my gym 2-3 days a week. So that was part of my, well, I now consider them cardio classes because you are going so hard, you're sweating, you're doing fast reps, you're changing positions all the time. It is very high cardio. Yeah, so I was definitely under that impression. And then I thought, oh yeah, boot camp classes, those too, you know, because you're doing all these push-ups and whatever, all those, that they would really keep my muscles in good shape. And yeah, well, I was doing them back when my body changed on me and all of a sudden I was not looking fit anymore. So clearly they were not doing the job. And the thing is that those kinds of classes are missing some of the key ingredients to building and maintaining muscle, which are applying progressive overload, training close to failure, and they're really more focusing on muscle endurance. And the thing about muscle endurance, this is something that women naturally have, like, is pretty good for them, right? So it's easier for us to do the 10-kilometer runs or start half marathons and this kind of thing. That's not what we are like losing in middle age so much as the muscle. So you need to start adding the real weight training in midlife. Now, I do have a freebie which talks about kind of the 5 key factors for building muscle. So I'll put it in the show notes. But the 5 things you need to build muscle is basically a good program, right? The exercises that you need to do. You need to be applying progressive overload. And I have a whole podcast episode about progressive overload. I'll link that as well. You need to be training close to failure. I've talked about this a lot. You need to make sure that you are recovering enough. And then, of course, there is the protein factor in there. Yeah. So don't be fooled. Just because there are those exercise classes where you have dumbbells in your hands, it does not mean that that is stimulating muscle growth. The third thing that I wanted to bring up, which really stops women from really maintaining their muscles, is a fear of the weight room or of weight training. First of all, if we address the idea of not feeling comfortable going to the weight room, please remember that you have every right to be there. You are paying your fees just like everybody else, and you are allowed to be there just like everybody else. And the fact is that most of the people in the weight room, they are way too like self-centered on their own workout, how their own sets are going, and between sets, most of them are on their phones anyway, that they don't really have time to pay attention to the people around them. I mean, yeah, I get to see, like, know the people that are in the weight room often, like they're familiar faces to me, but I can't say that I've ever really followed what they're doing. And I actually don't scroll on my phone during my breaks. So I am looking around the weight room, but I'm still more thinking about my own stuff and focusing on the next set and this kind of thing. So, but some things that you can do to make it easier to get into the weight room is you can go at a quiet time, right? You can ask your gym, like, when is it that the weight room is more quiet, and start out going on the quiet times. Don't go during the worst rush hour. And you can ask a staff member to please help you, you know, get acquainted with where is everything in the weight room. If you have a program of exercises, that is going to be the thing that makes you feel the most comfortable. Because once you know the 5 or 6 exercises that you're going to do in your training session, you can walk in and just do it. And in fact, if you have that program, then I would encourage you to then have the staff member go with you. You can say, hey, here's my program. Can you show me where these things are, and maybe even show me how to use each of the machines? They can show you like how to adjust the seats and all that kind of thing. And, you know, where the dumbbells are, that type of thing. And then I would definitely, if you do have that program, which I really hope you do, I hope that you have already acquainted yourself with the exercises that you have to do that day. So hopefully your coach or whoever you're getting that program from has given you some instructional videos. So I would check those out already at home, but then also have them with you at the gym. Because once you've done that exercise once, you may be like, huh, how did this go again? Where did my elbows need to be? Or how far apart did my feet need to be? Or whatever, you'll have some kind of question. Where did my toes need to, you know, did they need to stick up or to the sides, or doesn't matter? And those kinds of things. So it's handy to be able to refer back to those instructional videos afterwards. But, you know, if you still feel super duper awkward about getting started at the gym, then start at home. It is absolutely fine. And then the transition to the gym may be much, much easier when you feel already comfortable doing the exercises. You already have learned and gotten a little bit stronger, so your weight amounts are a little bit bigger. And also at home, what's nice is that you will probably feel more comfortable about videoing yourself in the exercises, doing the exercises. And please, please start doing that. It is amazing how eye-opening it is. When you're doing the exercise, unless you're doing something like a bicep curl, right, where you can stand in front of the mirror, look straight ahead, and perform them just fine without, you know, having to crane your neck or go into some funny position. Like most exercises, you don't actually want to be turning your head to look in a mirror or looking up. You know, you want to have your spine in alignment. And so that means that you're actually looking at the floor. So an easy way to make sure that your technique is good is that you take video of yourself. And actually, I love to use something called a flip stick. So it's like a sticker that you put on the back of your phone, and it can live there all the time. And then when I want to take a video, I just use that flip stick. It's like a sticky surface on the back, and I can stick my phone onto the other gym equipment and take better videos. So if you've ever seen my videos on Instagram of me working out, it is most likely a video taken using that flip stick. And the reason why there are some exercises that I haven't taken so many videos of is that there just doesn't happen to be a good spot to stick my phone during that exercise. But if you're interested in the flip stick, I will also link in the show notes to kind of my favorite equipment page, so you can learn more about that. Also, like these kinds of fears that women have is the fear that lifting weights is somehow dangerous or that you can injure yourself. Now, of course, anything that you do, you can injure yourself, right? You can injure yourself walking down your stairs, in an aerobics class, in a spinning class, walking down the street, hopping on the bus. Like, obviously, life is full of, you know, hazards that can happen. And certainly in the weight room, you can also injure yourself if you're doing things a little bit incorrectly. And I guess you could drop a weight on your foot and that kind of thing. But what I want you to think about is that what is more dangerous? The chance that you sometimes injure yourself. And I mean, that is kind of part of being an athlete, i.e. being somebody that uses their body, is that every now and again, you're going to overdo it a little bit. You might pull a muscle a little bit. You might, your knee might be a little bit sore because you're in a bad position and then you figure it out. But I have to say that I actually have now injured myself far more often in my dance class than in the weight room. I'm trying to think, like, what have I done anything in the weight room? I've had like one situation where I had a little bit of a muscle pull, but that was my own fault because I pushed myself beyond my limits, right? And yeah, at the same time, I learned a little bit more about my limits. Yeah, but what is more dangerous than that is letting your body decline, right? Because when you don't have that muscle, you are letting yourself get weaker. And that is going to happen, right? That's going to keep happening unless you are doing the weight training. And it's so deceptive. It happens little by little. But then you might notice one day that, oh yeah, I was sitting on a little bit deeper sofa and I really needed to use my arms to help me get up. Or you're opening the lid of a jar, you can't get it off. You start to need those little assistance thingies. Opening a lid of a jar has to do with your power, right? Your grip strength. And that most certainly will increase as you do weight training. Or you notice that lifting groceries is not as easy as it was before. I remember for me, I've always been really proud of the fact that I can carry all my groceries in from the car, right? I always felt like you can't buy more than you can carry in one trip. And I mean, I'm buying a ton of milk and yogurt and heavy stuff like that. So I have bags that I can like drape over my shoulders. Then I have them in the crooks of my arms and something in my lap, you know, I'll be like hanging bags off myself to take the groceries in. And I noticed at some point that I was like a little bit dreading that. Instead of feeling like, oh, I can do this. Yes, I'm going to carry in my groceries. I'd be like, oh my God, I got to go through this effort. And what was even worse is I noticed that if I was at the grocery store with my boyfriend, I would have this thought, and I'm ashamed to say this, that, oh, he's with me. So now I can buy like more heavy stuff because he'll help me carry it in. And I was like, no, Lynn, you can't think like that. That's terrible. And the thing is that at the point where these kinds of things become difficult, then soon it's that you can't get off the toilet. You can't get out of the chair. You can't walk up the stairs. You can't open the door. These are important things. Also things like recovering your balance, how fast you can walk across the street. These things depend on what kind of muscle you have. And I'm not talking about that kind of, can you run a marathon? It is about your power that you have. And that comes from the weight training. So I've got some exciting news, which is that yes, I'm going to go ahead with the group program if I get enough signups. If you are interested, please make sure that you are getting on the wait list at www.befitafter40.com/group. All right. So we had a little bit of a technical mishap actually on this podcast, and for some reason, totally lost the audio after point number three. So here I am actually recording the last two of these points like a week later. So if I repeat myself, I apologize in advance because I do have an outline, but sometimes I don't really look at it and I might mention something sooner than I meant to mention it and that kind of thing. So if I repeat myself, apologies this time. All right. But we had just talked about number three, which was being afraid of the weights and weight room. Okay. So the fourth mistake that I see a lot of women making, and this is one that I used to make too, is doing random workouts or swapping workouts too often. Now, if your goal is to build or maintain muscle so that you can get all the benefits that it brings. And if you are unclear as to what the benefits are and need a little reminder, then I will refer you back to podcast episode number two. But basically, in a quick summary, the things that weight training is bringing you is that it's making up for a lot of the things that estrogen used to do in your body. And when you hit perimenopause, your estrogen levels start to decline. And in menopause or postmenopause, really, they are very, very low or pretty non-existent. So, and what estrogen is doing for you is it's maintaining and even allowing you to grow or increase bone density. It's keeping your muscles strong. It's maintaining your power, those things like being able to get lids off jars, hoist yourself off a sofa or a toilet seat, all that kind of thing. Estrogen also makes your ligaments and tendons stronger. So when that disappears, your tendons and ligaments are weaker, and weight training will help with strengthening them again. And the dreaded belly fat, visceral fat that a lot of us have noticed when we hit perimenopause, you know, your weight starts to distribute itself a bit differently. Well, weight training, lifting heavy for you, actually gets your body to start using that visceral fat, that fat around your midriff. And then, of course, you have things like improved insulin sensitivity and also better mood. There are so many benefits to doing effective, you know, heavy for you weight training. And to be effective, you really want to be doing the same exercises week in, week out for months on end, right? Yes, you can switch it up a little bit, but my basic point I want to kind of emphasize, it's not that you do it for 3 weeks and you're like, okay, now I got to switch it up. I got to do something totally different. No, because by the end of 3 weeks, your body will just have started to learn how to do that exercise. You will for sure still be able to apply progressive overload and keep increasing your reps and increasing your weight over time. So you can really do the same exercises week in, week out. That's why you want to get a good program so that you are hitting the muscles in your body in a good way. So personally, I recommend doing the same exercises for at least 3 months. And if you're a beginner and you find exercises that work for you, so they feel good in your body, they're not making any of your joints feel bad, you know, that kind of thing, then go ahead and keep working those exercises for longer. You know, I get this question about my self-study program that how many weeks is this for? Well, you know, you could do the self-study program for 6 months, really. So, or even longer, you know, there's no kind of limit. But the thing is, when you start swapping exercises, what ends up happening is that your body needs to learn a new exercise. And that always takes a moment. And then you can start progressively overloading that. And so kind of puts you at like a, you know, you're not progressing at that point when you're switching exercises. And definitely track what you are doing. And I provide a free tracker at my website. So www.befitafter40.com/tracker. Okay. So I think that's what I had to say about number four. Yeah. And I will say that I always had this feeling that, oh, you know, you've got to have you confuse your muscles. You can't be doing the same things. If you're not getting sore, it's not effective. Those are all myths. Right? If you are doing the same exercises and you continue to challenge your muscles, in other words, you know that you're continuing to progress if you're able to do more reps this time than last time or lift a little more weight this time than last time. And we're not talking about having to do 10 more reps or 10 more pounds or kilos or whatever you're measuring in. At some point, your progression is going to slow down. And it might be that you're able to do one rep more per week, right? Out of like all three of your sets, you'll get one rep more. So, but you are still progressing at that point. And by the way, I'm going to say that if you've had a really tough week, or if you haven't been eating enough or haven't been sleeping enough or something like, or too much stress, then you may have a week where you don't progress. For sure, that can happen. And don't be too alarmed by that, but you can think of it as like a signal to you that, hey, I need to think about what is going on with the rest of my body, you know, with the rest of what I'm doing for myself. For example, when I'm in a calorie deficit, I did the calorie deficit in the spring. Oh my God, my training sessions were really, really hard and progressing was really slow. It started to be at the level of, you know, one rep per workout. And that wasn't so motivating and it felt hard. And then number five. So this is one, I think that I should say, this is maybe the one that should have been number one, but maybe I'm saving the best for last because I think this is super duper duper common. especially with women, using too light a weights. And I noticed this in all of my clients. Actually, this is probably something I've discussed with every single one of them, which is that they'll get to the point where they are doing full sets. So we work in an 8 to 12 rep range with most of them, and they'll get to the top of the rep range and they'll be able to do that top amount, the 12, they might even be able to do 15 reps, and they hesitate to raise the weight. So go ahead and increase your weight. You know, as long as you can lift the next weight up with good form, then go ahead and increase your weight. Because what happens with the longer sets, and I've discussed this before, is that when you start doing like 15 rep sets, that is tiring for you. It's maybe not as efficient a way to train. You know, getting even 12 is a fairly long set actually for your body to be, you know, working. So when you get up to the 12, go ahead and you're doing it with good form, of course. So when you get to the point where all of your sets, so I recommend the 3 sets of each exercise, then when in all of your sets you're able to do the 12 reps, then go ahead and increase your weight up to the next level. I think that is what I had to cover today. And actually, when I was thinking about this topic of the biggest mistakes, you know, that I see and that I've made myself, so it's not, I'm not just you, I'm not just pointing fingers, you know, you point finger out that way, you've got what, 3 fingers pointed back at you, right? So I've made these mistakes too. And I noticed there really are a lot of mistakes that I was making before I knew better. And there are a lot of mistakes that I was making in my training and then also outside of my training. So next time we'll go through the mistakes that are very common outside of the training that you're doing. And those are things that you can look at, especially if you feel like you're not getting, you know, not seeing much progress or results from your training. So make sure to hit that subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss the next episode. And I want to add at the end here that thank you so much. I have been bought my first cups of virtual coffee from supporters of the podcast, and that feels so, so, so good. Thank you very, very much. And if you feel like you would like to support the podcast, if you learned something here today or in one of my earlier episodes, then you can buy me a virtual cup of coffee, and the link is in the show notes. And with that, I will leave you for this week and be back next week. In the meanwhile, happy training.